to the Wise Man's Page, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Wise Man's Fear page by page. This is page 93. "Don't trouble yourself," I said, moving towards the stairs. "She's expecting me." The man moved to block my way. "I'm afraid that isn't possible," he said, "but I will be glad to see if the lady is in." He held out his hand. I looked at it. "Your calling card?" he asked. "That I might present it to the young lady?" "How can you give her my card if you aren't sure she's in?" I asked. The porter gave me a smile again. It was gracious, polite, and so sharply unpleasant that I took special note of it, fixing it in my memory. A smile like that is a work of art. As someone who grew up on the stage, I could appreciate it on several levels. A smile like that is like a knife in certain social settings. And I might have need of it someday. "Ah," the porter said. "The lady is in," he said with a certain emphasis. "But that doesn't necessarily mean she is in for you." "You can tell her Quoth has come calling," I said, more amused than offended. "I'll wait." I didn't have to wait long. The porter came down the stairs wearing an irritated expression as if he'd been looking forward to throwing me out. "This way," he said. I followed him upstairs. He opened a door and I swept past him with what I hoped was an irritating amount of dismissive aplomb. It was a sitting room with wide windows that let in the late afternoon sun, large enough to seem spacious despite the scattered chairs and couches. A hammer dulcimer sat against the far wall, and one corner of the room was entirely occupied by a massive Modagian great harp. Dennis stood in the center of the room, wearing a green velvet dress. Her hair was arranged to display her elegant neck to good effect, revealing the emerald teardrop earrings and matching necklace at her throat. She was talking to a young man who was, the best word I can think of is pretty. He had a sweet, clean-shaven face with wide, dark eyes. He had the look of a young noble who had been down on his luck too long for it to be a temporary thing. His clothing was fine, but rumpled. His dark hair was cut in a style obviously meant to be curled, but it hadn't been tended to recently. His eyes were sunken as if he hadn't been sleeping well. Denna held out her hands to me. "Quoth," she said, "come meet Joffrey." "Pleased to meet you, Quoth," Joffrey said. "Danielle has told me quite a bit about you. You're a bit of a, what is it, wizard?" His smile was open and utterly guileless. "Arcanist, actually," I said as politely as possible. "Wizard brings too much..." End of the page!
I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy.
A hammer dulcimer is a real instrument.
A hammer dulcimer?
You didn't know. Yes, a hammer dulcimer is a real instrument.
Ooh. What kind of instrument?
It's sort of like a xylophone, but instead of keys, like a xylophone, it has strings, like a guitar or like a violin.
Interesting.
But you bang it with hammers.
Yeah, I was going to say with hammers, because it's a hammer dulcimer.
Oh yeah, I've seen one of those played. So on the top of the page, Quoth is doing something that all great artists do. He is taking note of something that happens to him in the real world, and he is filing it away for later use.
Indeed.
You know?
Like a Pinterest, but like for your brain.
Yes. Before Pinterest, we did something called memory.
Remembering.
Jordana, you actually just made my nose bleed, so thanks a lot for that.
Is it the same color as the Pinterest logo?
I'll kill you. I've killed people before, and I'll do it again.
Not while social distancing, you won't.
I also love, the lady is in, but that does not mean she is in for you. I love supercilious, snooty butler characters.
This might mean that she gets a lot of callers, and he's actually doing his job by vetting the people coming in.
Absolutely. Well, and there is something I want to talk about this young noble, this Geoffrey, because we have been assuming up until now that the reason that Denna goes out with all these guys is because they're kind of sugar daddies, right? They're providing her with financial security, whether that's by giving her gifts or you know, spending money on her or taking her places. But we've sort of been assuming that that's why we see her with a bunch of different men. But this guy has the look of a young noble who has been down on his luck too long for it to be temporary, which means he is, you know, impoverished nobility, which means he must not have money. And he looks like he's been through hell. His eyes are sunken as if he hasn't been sleeping well. His clothes are rumpled. His hair, like, hasn't been tended to. And he sort of rushes out. You know, there are people who I can't keep waiting.
We're not there yet, Jared.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet. Sorry. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. But all of that paints a slightly alarming picture to me. Because if Dennis not after this guy for his money, then what business do they have together?
Well, I have two theories, one of which is less charitable. And that one is that this is a palate cleanser after Lord Brickjaw. She wants somebody who's a little more simple and a little more, or a little, you know, less snooty noble. And the other theory
is high maintenance.
Yeah, and the other one is that she's helping him, that she's achieved a place where she can now give back somewhat, and that she is actually maybe not sugar mamaing him, but is helping him out in whatever way she can, because she sees that he needs it.
Wow, that's much more charitable than what I was thinking.
And the other one is that maybe he reminds her of Quoth.
Fascinating. My theory was going to be...
Sorry, go ahead.
What if they are both working for the same mysterious benefactor?
What did you say, Jordana?
Oh, I like that theory.
Yeah, that's really, really compelling. We should keep an eye on this guy and see if he shows up again, because why else would this character be there? Why would Rothfuss want to trot him out in front of Quoth, if not for some purpose?
Mm-hmm. And who better to be the servant of dark powers than a guileless, you know, noble dimwit?
Who indeed?
Just because he's not full of guile does not make him a dimwit.
Well, Jordana, I think the most real-world villains are guileless, noble dimwits.
But, okay, wait. Maybe we should go over what it means to have guile, then.
To be incapable of deceit. Or to be incapable of ulterior motives.
Would be guileless. Be guileless would be... Yeah, so I don't see how that would make him... Like a dummy.
They don't believe anything you tell them.
It's like some sort of a Jordana figure.
Yeah, and they believe that everyone in the world thinks the way they do. Just don't get yourself embroiled with dark powers, Jordana, and you'll be fine.
Oh, a bit too late. Jordana's already embroiled with us.
What I'm learning from this is that you guys think I'm a dummy, which is, you know, pretty insulting.
Oh, no, we don't think you're dumb.
You just know that you have no guile. And Jordana, I think you'd be the first to agree that you don't have guile.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. But my argument is that being guileless does not make you a dummy.
Yeah, I think he's a dumb irrespective of whether he's guileless.
Oh, okay, I see. They're two separate things. See,
Simon is guileless, but he also is no dummy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Glad we had this talk.
And I mean, it's possible that his being a dummy is a symptom of his being noble.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He might have come up more privileged than Simon, because I think Simon is the way he is because he had to, he had some idea of how the world works because he was not a favored son. Mm-hmm. But this Jeffrey character perhaps was a first son and didn't need to learn any actual skills. And now things are bad.
I want to shift gears ever so slightly. So Denna has a Modagan great harp in her room, and that's the instrument that Lord Brickshaw was teaching her to play.
Correct. Right?
He was teaching her to play the pendant.
That's the great harp is the pendant hail.
Okay, so if she still got it, that does lend support to the idea that she's still learning from Lord Brickshaw, and that this guy is not here in his capacity as one of Denna's usual hangers-on, right?
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
What if Denna and Lord Brickjaw broke up, but he had already given her the nice jewelry and the harp, And so now she's got Noble who needs a hand and this nice big expensive harp. You know, she could sell the harp,
that would
or
be
she
a pain in the ass to cart around if you're a person like Denna who moves around a lot. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Give it to him.
Jordana, I'm agreeing
I think his instrument is the dulcimer. I think they're in a band and he plays the dulcimer.
Trying to imagine like the garage band of King Killer.
So we're saying that Jeffrey is tired because they've been up all night rehearsing.
I mean, I think he's in debt to shifty characters.
To champions. Like many musicians.
Yes, much like all musicians, he is hunted by dark forces.
Mm-hmm. In debt to the Chandranoids.
Yes, it is in fact the Chandranoids who he's off to see.
And in debt to the Chandranoids is the long B-side on our first album. That's like a 16-minute long track.
Yeah. In debt to the Chandranoids, part one, Hammer Dulcimers and Pendant Hails.
Oh my gosh, that's such a long title. I'm going to have to write that down, but it's...
Jordana, just go look at a Godspeed You Black Emperor album for inspiration.
Sorry. Godspeed Black Emperor?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Guileless.
I mean, that's a real band.
I know it is, but Jordan was just like, okay, that's what I'll do, rather than saying, Nick, go screw yourself. I don't have to do what you tell me.
Yes, Jordan, you should listen to some Rage Against the Machine for some directives on how to work.
Sorry. I believe that Nick has good creative ideas and that I can build on them.
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh, indeed.
Yes, Jordana, there's a Street Fighter character who you should practice with.
Is it M-Bison?
No.
Oh. I don't get it.
It's Guile!
Listeners, you can practice with Guile on tomorrow's page.
The
Wind!